But listen to me. Unless you are intentional about doing the Lord's work or being committed to a men's group, it will never happen. It doesn't matter whether, you know, sometimes we want to serve God when it's convenient to us. It doesn't work. I tell you, to find Jesus, you have to set time apart. Now, mark your calendar. We're going to give you more details about it. November 3rd and 4th, I'm calling our church for a 24-hour fast. Now, you can fast food. You can fast coffee. You can fast soda. You can fast your phone. Turn your phone off for 24 hours. You can fast TV for 24 hours. You can fast everything by coming here from the 3rd, from 7 to the 4th at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. We're going to have a 24-hour worship and prayer and seeking the Lord. I am calling you. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to do it, even if you can't do the whole 24 hours. And you could be like, well, why would I do that? That's a sermon. Jesus spent times with Father. So I'm calling you. I'm inviting you. I'm telling you. This is what I want our church to do. We're going to partner with David Stent, but I'm calling our church for a 24-hour fast. You go to Jesus in for the rest of the month to ask him what would he want you to fast. Maybe you need to turn off work for 24 hours. I don't know. Maybe you need to fast eating for 24 hours. So, you see, can you notice that our body is not exciting about such news? Can you notice? It's like every time you talk about going after Jesus, pursuing God, the body's like, oh man, you'll find 1,000 excuses not to do it. But if I'd say we're going to the beach, which is awesome, we're going to have a party. Guys, we have a party. We're inviting a DJ, you know. We invite the famous DJ. We're going to dance. We're going to have cake and ice cream. Everybody's going to be like, even myself will be like, yeah, let's do it. But when it comes to seeking God, I tell you, certain results you want in your spiritual life, you must apply discipline. It's not religion. Now, fasting is not going to make you closer to God. We don't have to do anything to get to God. Nothing you will do, what I mean is nothing you will do will make God loves you more. It's a self-discipline. You put yourself in a position for the Holy Spirit to encounter you. Brother Ron is a testimony. The last time we did a 24-hour fast, I invited Juan to work the cameras. I asked him to be here from 7 to midnight to just do the cameras. He got convicted. He stayed the whole 24 hours. The next morning at 10 in the morning, Juan left the camera. Juan was at the altar. That's when he got baptized with the Holy Spirit. His life changed. You remember his testimony the next day? The next day he stood up here and just opened his life. The guy's never changed. He preached last week. So I'm calling you, and you online. Mark your calendar. November 3rd from 7 p.m. to November 4th, 7 p.m. Come with your Bible, with your notebook. You sleep here. Spend a couple hours. If you need to go, come back. If you can, dwell in the house of the Lord. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in his house forever. Let's take this time to pray for our brother Philip and Ken Smith. I got a text from him this morning. I visited with him yesterday. It was really good. But yes, keep him in your prayers. I'll go see him again this week. And anybody else that are struggling physically, I believe in the mighty power of the name of Jesus. I know Jesus heals. I know he can. I've seen him done it. I've read the Bible. I physically witnessed it on the mission field. And I know he can do it. I know he will do it. Okay? And I know sometimes, even in our mind, I was telling somebody this week, sometimes we think dying is the worst thing that could happen to a believer. Change our mind. See, dying is gaining. Absent in this body is to be with the Lord. Okay? So, you know, so it's like, that in itself is another sermon, but please, let's pray. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we mention Philip and Ken before you, Lord. They need you. They need a touch. They need a miracle. Their physical body is going through a tough time. And in obedience to your word, Lord, we just present them to you. Laying them on the altar. They're at the hospital right now. Lord, we pray for their family, their extended family, their children, wives. Lord God, we ask that you would comfort and take care of them, because everybody's being affected by what they are going through. Lord, I pray that you'd sustain Sandra. You keep her steadfast. You take care of Sharon and Elijah and the rest of their family, Lord. Father, we rest Ken and Philip in your hands. In this world, we will have trouble, but you've promised us to your peace. So we release your peace, King Jesus, into that situation. Let your will be done. Heal them, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God's people say, amen. All right. So I want to take this time. I tell you, at 12 or a little bit after 12, we're going to transition into the next room to eat together. Make it a priority once a month to come together to eat. So if you can, please stay to fellowship. That's when we really know each other, you know. And so, yeah, even if you didn't bring anything, we always have enough, right? We always have enough. Seriously, my heart is beating right now. You know why? The title of my message, it is a very touchy subject. But I'm not afraid to touch subjects, because Jesus did. Because I'm not touching a touchy subject from my own personal conviction. I'm touching a touchy subject from the Word of God. Can you say touch subject? Touchy subject. Before you know it, you start speaking in tongues. I love the Word of God. The Bible gives answer for everything. And we don't bring the Bible to our level. We must bring our lives to the level of the Bible, the standard of the Bible. Can I have a witness?
Amen.
Okay. We bring our life to the standard of the Word of God. Every day, every time I read the Bible, I'm looking in my life. I'm letting this be the mirror. The mirror. I let the Bible to become my mirror, the mirror of my life, so I know how to live. Not to be religious. Not to be religious. I had an awesome conversation with one of my neighbors. This week, Friday, I saw my neighbor. He's got a piece of property in North Carolina. So him and I, we've been talking about, I want to go hunting. I used to hate hunting, but all of a sudden this year, I'm having this crazy idea. But the reason I want to go hunting, it's because I think it's awesome if you could kill something and eat the meat. That's saving money. I mean, you spend a little money, but I'm thinking... You know, I'm thinking, and it's fun killing something, I guess, you know, unless you're really animal lovers, you know, I'm sorry, but you got it. But anyhow, but if I go in the cold, you know, I'm getting a heated jacket and all that stuff. It's going to be like all wussy stuff. But I was having this, you know, I saw my neighbor and we've been talking. We're going to go down to his property. And I saw him packing up. And so I said, where are you going? He's like, I'm going down. I said, man, I'll come with you. So I went with him. It was amazing. That neighbor grew up Catholic. He's not going to church. He told me, he's like, you know what? I should go to church. I never preached to him. I mean, we talk about God, but he sees my life. And I'm like, I told Kendra, I said, this guy should be a believer. Why? He's just so nice. And then I have two other neighbors down the road. They go to church. They're so mean. It broke my heart. And that's what happened. You see, we were reading the other day what about a news that affected the community of Chesapeake about this young man that unfortunately hit a child, you know, and unfortunately the child died. And our hearts goes out to the family. I mean, both families right now, because just imagine the young man's family, what they're going through. But unfortunately, he didn't stop. And then, you know, long story short, they caught him. But so we went online just to read the article and just follow up the news, what's going around. And a couple people made mention that on his status on Facebook, he said he's a Christian. In the book of Acts, for the first time in Antioch, they called the disciples Christians. You know what that means back then? Someone who act like Christ. Christians mean Christ-like. We know in our generation it doesn't mean that way, that the same thing. I mean, now I am a Christian. I'm not going to be afraid to identify myself as a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. But it's fascinating to see how people are just bashing the guy. They're saying, well, of course, now what happened to your Christianity? Why? I mean, you said you're Christian. Why couldn't you stop? And then comes the question in this situation. What would Jesus do? So in every situation you find yourself, what would Jesus do? I've got that in my office as my background. In every day I walked in there, I'm like, okay, what would Jesus do? Whatever you're dealing with, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus stop in that case? You see, sometimes we make our Christianity a matter of a Sunday morning service. And I ask myself, how many times, what has Jesus done to the world so they would hate him so much? The problem is not Jesus. Jesus is awesome. The problem is people who call themselves Christians are misrepresenting Christ. So, lukewarm Christians are a bad advertisement for a good God. Amen. Lukewarm Christians are the worst advertisement for Jesus. Carnal Christians, people who live for themselves, they're bad advertisement. So therefore, people in the world looked at them and they said, well, what do you have to offer me? You curse, I curse. You drink, I drink. You party, I party. Dirty parties. I tell you, true fun is found in Jesus. You know why? Because I don't have to be drunk to be happy. I don't have to have a lot of money to be happy. Things doesn't have to go straight right for me to have peace. As a matter of fact, how many people we see with so much money? With so much fame. Come on, help me preach, sister. But yet, they are not happy. Young men, young women, full of fame. Everybody knows them. Guess what? They kill themselves. They can travel everywhere. But that void in their hearts is not there. Have you lost your passion? That would be the title of my message. And then from that, I talk about signs of a lukewarm Christian. The loss of passion and intimacy. Losing your passion for God and the things for God will automatically open the door to the enemy to confuse you. Let me repeat. When you lost your passion for God, I don't know, maybe I'm going to take a couple weeks to teach this. When you lost your passion for Jesus, you know what passion is? The dictionary actually defined passion. It says, let me find it. It says a very strong feeling about something or about a thing. For those of us who are married, you remember that passion? Passion. And especially if your lover lives across the state or they go to school or before you got married, you would see each other and then on the way home you call each other. You know, it's like, I'm almost home. You get home, you go into bed, you say, I'm going to bed. And then one of you says, well, you know, why don't you hang up? And then nobody wants to hang up. And then you are, you know, you breathing each other, you know, you breathing on the phone. I mean, you're not together. That's passion. And then you get married. I let you fill up the blank. There was a time in my marriage where I lost my passion. But then I had to pursue my wife to rekindle the passion again. It doesn't matter how many years you've been married, you can always rekindle the passion. Now listen to this. Before I get to that, I get too far. Last year I sent an email out. I was looking through my stuff and I saw I wrote an email out about Halloween. I decided I'm not going to title my message, Should Church Celebrate Halloween? It's not worth it. But yeah, you could ask that. I mean, should Christians celebrate Halloween? And I told you I grew up in a culture where, I mean, voodoo is prevalent, okay? In 1804, when the slaves in Haiti came together to fight the French, their slogan, their what they were going by was, cut every head and burn everything. Coupe tête, brûle caille. Coupe tête, brûle caille. Cut every head. I mean, just think about it. A bunch of guys come together. They think they can gain their freedom by killing their oppressors. And then they all come together saying, okay, we can do it. This is the plan. But not only are we going to kill them, we're going to burn everything. And among all of them, not one of them be like, guys, hang on. When we burn everything, where would we stay? Are you with me? So okay, we're going to kill our masters because there's no other way to gain our freedom. But we're going to burn the whole place. We're going to burn the houses. We're going to burn the fields. We're going to kill the donkeys and the mules. What a dumb movement. Seriously, sometimes, I mean, I'm thinking, what a great revolution. You know, Haiti was the first black island that gained their independence. It was a big deal. Still a big deal. The news of what happened there spread all over the place. And, you know, Toussaint Louverture, he actually came to, Georgia? Louisiana to help the slaves there, to help feed them. This is the conclusion. Satan does three things, and we all know it. What does he do? Good. Kill, steal, destroy. That's what he does. And then those slaves who came from Africa, the only thing they knew was voodoo. Voodoo was the worship of the dead. Voodoo, they cast spells. I mean, they tried. They probably poisoned a lot of their masters. Some of their masters would all of a sudden feel like they're catching on fire, but there's no fire. I've seen it in Haiti. People cast spell. They call on the dead. I believe as a preacher or as a child of God, I must not remain silent. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 6. It says, now it is time for us to progress beyond the basic message of Christ and advance into perfection. The foundation has already been laid for us to build upon, turning away from dead works. So what this is saying, come on, guys. We can't keep talking about dead works. When you talk about God's church, unless you're a new Christian, we shouldn't be continually telling you, do not partake in dead works. See, Halloween is dead work. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11 says, take no part in worthless deeds of evil. Now, our goal as a missionary in Haiti was to lay on a dead body, to breathe life to the dead body, but also to help change the mindset, the voodoo mindset, to kingdom mindset. So every nation who understand Satan kill, steal, and destroy, they want to kick Satan out and invite in God. So God brings life. So every other nation wants to bring life, wants to bring kingdom. And then us here in America, we're inviting death. Whether you agree with that or not, that's the fact. I know some of you could be like, well, you know what? Halloween is just fun. You know, but when people opening up themselves like that to worship the dead, you're opening yourself for demonic influence. You're opening up yourself for nightmare. You know, when we moved here, somebody called us. They said, I was actually shocked. They said, Pastor, we know you understand that. She said, well, we feel like we couldn't really talk to anybody because here people, they don't know how to deal with this. This is what was happening. She would be laying in bed and she would be getting scratched. There's nobody in the living room. There's a chair moving. It's real. It's demons. Just like the angels are real, demons are real. So what? You know, sometimes people would go on vacation and they buy this voodoo doll or this statue. Oh, it's just pretty. But you have no idea what's attached to that. I hope this is making sense. I hope I'm not confusing you. I'm not scaring you. This is real stuff. In 1804, after they killed all the masters, burned everything, you know what they did? They devoted the country to Satan. Because that's what they knew. They said, oh, whatever they call it, devil, whatever name they had for it. They said, we dedicate this freedom to you. 1804, 1 year later, a year and a half later, they plot among themselves, kill the leader. So they killed the leader, and then they couldn't be united among themselves. From 1804, can't remember it, but there's only like maybe 6 or 7 presidents in Haiti that did their full terms. It's always coup after coup. Recently, they killed the president 2 years ago. There's no president there now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead, expose them. Have no relationship with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather, expose them. Don't even associate with the servants of darkness, because they have no fruit in them. You know, from experience, people who have come out under the abuse of demonic oppression, they say it's real. It is real. Let me tell you this. It is real. I have seen it. The trauma is real. You know, and people ask themselves, why are their kids having nightmares? Well, what have you, you know, what kind of spirit you allow to influence them? Listen to what it says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. It says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spirits, for you will be defiled by them. Do not seek, you know, palm reading. Do not seek, you know. Everybody wants to know what the spirits, the stars, are saying about them. The Bible explicitly forbid consulting mediums or souls of the dead. Listen, when someone's dead, you can't pray for them. You can't go to purgatory. This is a time if you need to repent, to repent. This is the time if you want to make things right, to make things right. Once someone's dead, pray for yourself. Your prayer's not going to help. But when I was growing up, we thought, as a matter of fact, there's a seven-day journey when someone dies, there's a seven-day journey to pray for to pray their soul into rest. Accepting Jesus can only give you rest. The darkness that surrounds the holiday of Halloween is real. Now, we're not saying you're not celebrating fall. That's why we're doing a fall festival. We're celebrating God's creation. We're celebrating the fact that we live in a place where we have four seasons. Oh, man, hallelujah. I was telling Becky this morning, I said, man, I think... winter is really rubbing on me, because now I'm not fighting anymore. It's like winter's coming. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a change of season. All right. Okay? So it's not religion. It's, as God's people, we need to understand the dark activity that goes around. So life is not hard enough. We need to go scare ourselves. You're not scared enough. And here, we will not downplay evil. I know it's hard to be different. Believe me, it's not easy to just... Somebody can be listening to this online and just start cursing me. But you know what? This is the word of God. It's not my personal conviction. No. How can we please God and go with the current or the culture? It's impossible. You cannot try to please God and be dancing with the world. It doesn't work. Now, I won't advertise this picture. That's why I have asked, we're not going to project it online, but I want to show it to you guys. This is what's happening in one of the states, in one other state. I don't want to mention the state because people might go and search it. But this is what's happening right now. This is the decoration. This is what I call that. It's the display. It's a Halloween display that brings mockery. You think the enemy is not behind that? And you think I want to support that? I'll ask Xavier to just post that. Those two pictures on the screen. The next one, please. So Jesus is your king, right? Take it off, please. Guys, I'm serious. We do not take part. Now, I'm not saying when you drive by your neighbor's house, you look at them like, don't do that. Don't do that. You know? Don't be going down the street. Come on, you can laugh. That's so good. Don't be going down the street looking down on your neighbors. No, that's not Christ-like. But at least now your antenna, your radar is up. You pray, you say, God, you know, Lord, open their eyes, Lord. Just give them, Lord, give them a revelation. Father, I pray that you'd protect. I tell you, this is the time to intercede for your community. This is the time to pray for your neighbors. If you see they're going crazy. We've got a couple houses in our block, man. When we walk, we say, Jesus, you know, help them, Father. You know, we take authority over the deeds of darkness in the house, in this house. That's why you are in your community, not to condemn them. But this truth God is revealing to you is to make you aware of what's happening. You know, making you aware. You don't take part of it. Remember, if God still have us on this earth, He still wants, He's got a greater purpose for you than just eating mac and cheese. Yeah, there's a greater purpose. If you listen to this, if you're hearing me this morning, God has a greater purpose for you to intercede. Lord, open their eyes. Lord, those children, yeah, I mean, even the downplay we do, treat whatever, trick, trunk, point, and treat, whatever we call it, you know. We're not downplay. I mean, yeah, we're going to come together. We're going to have a good time. It's a time everybody's out there. I mean, I tell you, in our fall festival, when people walk, we intercede. We say, Lord, bless them. Father, open their eyes. We are a church for the community. We're not a stiff-necked church, religious, you know, you don't come here. No, let all of them come. There's room for all of them the way they are. That's the mindset we live by. There are so many wonderful activities to participate during fall. But be aware. I am just shaping your awareness of the season. And I tell you, there's somebody here at the church, someone was telling me they went to the store and they were gonna buy some kind of Halloween crazy stuff, and they heard a voice saying, they say, well, they're not sure if it's my voice or the Holy Spirit. I said, it's the Holy Spirit. Okay. But because I'm your pastor, sometimes if you dream something, you might see me, because I am the angel of the church. Okay, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. I'm not speaking in your head. It's the Holy Spirit. All right? I have no control over your mind. The Holy Spirit, if you give Him room, He'll guide you. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus buy this? And then if you leave yourself open for the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you, no, this won't honor me. And then you don't do it. And then you live. You know? This is what it says. I like this version. It says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Carefully determine. You know, as we go, we move forward, we are carefully determined. You know, the day of the Lord is near. So we are carefully determined. I want you to live your life like this. In your relationship with your children, with your neighbor, you carefully determine. That's wisdom. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Because I tell you guys, when you please Jesus in all you do, you are blessed. Oh man, you're blessed. You know, and being blessed has nothing to do with material possession. Okay, change your mind. You know, back in the days, they make us understand a blessed person has got all this possession stuff. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Oh man, have you ever talked to someone on their deathbed? It's like, wow, nothing else matters. You want to live your Christian life and experience the fullness of God while on earth. Don't live a miserable Christian life. Yeah, you might still make it to heaven, right? You still make it to heaven, but you were miserable. You were a grumpy Christian. You know? Enjoy Jesus. Love people. You know, love people. All right? I'll tell you, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. I'm still in Ephesians chapter 5. It's shameful even to talk about things that ungodly people do in secret. You see, when you lost your passion for Jesus, you also lost your radar, become weak. You remember back in the days, now your GPS, I don't know if your GPS does it. I mean, if we drive speed limit, we don't care. You know, maybe 5 over whatever. But then, for those of us who likes to speed, when your GPS, they used to sell those little radar things. You guys remember those little things? You buy, they were like $500 to start with. And when we got that thing, we're like, man, yeah, man, I'm kind of over smart the cops. Because that thing, little thing, 1,000 feet away tells you, I mean, it gives you like, I remember them. And then you slow down. It is shameful even to talk about the things ungodly people do in secret. See, the Holy Spirit becomes that little radar in your life. You know. You careful. It's like you know the deeds of darkness. You're not dancing with the world. You're not compromising. When you lose your passion, you compromise. When you lose your passion for Jesus, you compromise. Don't be fooled by those who speak their empty words and deceptive teachings, telling you otherwise. Because I know teaching like this, I mean, I'm not going to go into any more details, but a teaching like this, sometimes you find a certain different churches or preachers, they kind of water down what we must do. You know, fornication is fornication, period. But a lot of time we put emphasis on, you know, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, but we forgot about you so rude as a believer. That's sin. You forgot about you running a business, but you're not honest. Right? You forgot about, you know, you can't forgive people. And we classify sin, big sin, medium sin, tall sin, and there's this little sin. Man, I tell you, you better get rid of whatever it is sin. Because sin is sin in the presence of God. There's no big, medium, and small sin. Sin separates us from the love of God. It says, arise, O you sleepers, rise up from your coffin. We don't try to understand why someone would turn their front yard a graveyard. It's because they are in darkness, they're attracting death. I mean, has anybody ever in their right mind called their best friend saying, hey, let's go for a promenade? Promenade, you know, it's just go for a leisure walk. Let's go for a leisure walk. Let's go for a walk. Oh, let's go. Where are we going? The cemetery. Has anybody done that? But what would you think if your friend would call your best friend's like, would you come? No. Well, you'd probably call a psychiatric, what do you call this place? Psychologist. You'd probably call one of them or call their mom, say, hey, Aunt Mary, I think you should check on Johnny. Why? Well, he called me earlier today. He said, let's go for a walk at the cemetery. So when you ask yourself, why would someone in their right mind want to create a graveyard? And we know it's because they're in darkness, they're deceived, they don't know what they're doing. So Father, forgive them. Father, open their eyes. They don't want to open their life for death. They want to open their life for life. They want life. They want love. They want things that are truthworthy. They want things that are just. That's if they would be in their right mind, that's what they would want. See, and that's why when we talk about what I'm talking about, a touchy subject, that's the perspective. This is where I'm coming from. And I think Jesus gave us a good example. Look at the picture. I mean, we're not going to show you the picture, but I'm sure you got it in your mind. I want you to picture that picture again. And Jesus in heaven is saying, Father, forgive them. You see, now Jesus is not saying, Lord, judge them. No, Jesus is saying, Father, they don't know. And that's the attitude I want you to have as you go forth from here. As you walk around, you know, you see people having fun. Yes, they're having fun, but they don't know. You know what I do for Halloween? The night, I don't stay inside. You know what I do? I grab my speaker. Kendra makes hot chocolate. And then I grab my guitar. And I've done it 2 years in 2 years. The first year I did that, bought my speaker, I start playing some grooving jazz and stuff. And then guess what? Two of my neighbors like, oh, man, sounds good. They come, they sit around. Last year we had all the neighbors. And then people come. This year, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing, and I'm going to have a sign that says Jesus forgives and heals. And then I'm going to have lights, and we're going to have hot chocolate. Chocolate. Everybody give candy. You know, that's fine. We don't have to give candy. We're thinking we give ginger tea, hot chocolate. Everybody wants ginger tea. It might be a little cooler. Guess what? I'm not shoving myself in the closet. Everybody's out. All my neighbors out. I'm seeing them. You know, they're walking around. The music in itself is attracting them. You see, it's not religion. It's being careful. What it says carefully discern, carefully determine what pleases God for the season. In conclusion, compromising make you become lukewarm. And for this season, let's not compromise. The disciples, they were radical. We don't want to be radical. We want everybody to like us. Guess what? I hope you like me, but guess what? I don't mind as long as I'm okay with my Father. What is that song? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My wishes are in love somewhere beyond the blue. I will continue next week with your passion, being passionate for Jesus. We thank you that you says in your word, you know, I am going to prepare a place for you. And this is not a vain hope. This is a hope. Jesus, you coming back. Lord, we thank you for empowering us by your grace. Your grace empowering us to walk in a manner that's worthy of the call you've called us. You've called us to be salt and light. Father, I bless these, your children, your sons and your daughters. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to come be in your house and be with each other. Father, as we transition to the next room, we ask that you'd bless the food, the physical food. Thank you for feeding us spiritual food today. And thank you for giving us more than we deserve. You're so good to us, Lord. As we go to the next room, may your presence continue to overflow. And as we go forth from here, I pray that your favor rest upon us and your blessing would rest on us, Lord. The peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding would be with us. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen. Amen.